Happy holidays, you good little Locked On Grizzlies listener or viewer. It is the time of the season to make a list and check it twice. Make sure that you're being nice and not naughty. Are the Memphis Grizzlies buying, selling? Are they going and exchanging gifts? What exactly are the Grizzlies' thoughts about where they're at as we enter the holiday season? Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
If you're listening to the show, we have to get it out of the way right from the beginning. No, your ears don't deceive you. Santa Claus is not the special guest host of this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. It is actually I, Joe Mullinax, back with you. And I know if you're not watching YouTube, you can't see my buddy, DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal, Grizzlies beat writer, is back with me as well. How are you, DeMichael?
Joe, I'm doing great. And it's the holiday season, as you mentioned, and no, Santa Claus isn't on here, but I tell you what, Joe, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if I saw you in one of these Walgreens or these Walmart stores and you put on your nice red suit and that black belt around and get your little hat and take pictures and let all the kids sit in your lap. You can do it, Joe. You can go for it.
Well, I don't know whether I should take that as a compliment of my great Santa impression or as an insult that you called me fat, DeMichael. I don't know which way I should go with that one. But I appreciate it, DeMichael, and I appreciate having you back with me here on Locked On Grizzlies. It's just a nicer, warmer holiday season feeling whenever DeMichael is just, you know, a few centimeters away on the digital screen here. So thank you to DeMichael, and thank you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies, taking in the show each and every day as we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Make sure you're subscribing, rating, reviewing, liking on YouTube, checking out, making comments. We take all that stuff in. I interacted with a chatter on yesterday's show as they were watching it. It was a wonderful experience, and I genuinely mean that. It's cool to see folks making us part of their Grizzlies experience. So continue to do so and continue to tell your friends about us here at Locked On Grizzlies. DeMichael, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is one of the busiest times of the year for shopping, right? I have three small children, and of course, Santa Claus brings them their presents, but I like to, you know, help out where I can. So I thought, and I appreciate you, you know, humoring me here as a washed old guy, you not being washed, you are very handsome, you are very suave, you are very out and about town, you know. I go to bed at 8 o'clock every night. So as a washed old man, I appreciate your humoring of me. We're going to do a gift-giving exchange kind of theme here with today's episode. We're going to buy some things about the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, maybe some gifts that we'd like to give to someone else. We're going to sell some ideas that maybe we don't like as much. Maybe we're going to give those gifts away. You know, the big block of deodorant that you inexplicably get given by your crazy aunt. You don't want those things. Or the tantric candles from your grandma. Grandma, I don't want to think about that stuff with you. Just don't give me those things. And then finally, maybe an exchange. You know, maybe the Grizzlies need to make a trade. Take a couple of the sweaters that they got in the offseason and maybe exchange them for a toy from, you know, the local department store. So that's kind of the theme for today's episode. And we're going to lead off with something that we really want. At the top of our holiday wish list, the gift that we just hope continues to give. And DeMichael, because you're being so patient with me, I'm going to allow you to go first. What is the thing that that is currently happening for a Grizzlies team roughly a quarter through the season already that you hope to buy and keep at the top of your holiday wish list for the entire season?
Well, Joe, we're roughly a quarter through the season, but
right. It
only has taken me 5 games to buy on this.
I know where you're going with this. I know where it's coming.
That's all I needed to see, Joe. And I'm buying this improved Jaren Jackson Jr. And it's only for one reason. It's not because of his defense. That's not surprising to me. That's what he does. It's not because he shot the three-pointer well in the last couple games, and he's still only at 31% or so, but remember, he started 0-7 in that first game, so he shot the ball really well from three-point range in the last 4 games. It's not even because of that. It's because I saw you. You kind of made a tweet in reference to this, Joe, where you said something like, "Jaren Jackson kind of turning into sort of a baby Giannis would be a really cool, you know, ordeal." And you said that because he was playing bully ball in that game against the Knicks in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And literally, since I came back to Memphis, the one thing when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr., fans have clamored me about, either whether it's questions or they're just commentary on just watching him play, is they feel like he doesn't take advantage of the mismatches enough. Jaren Jackson Jr. is 6'11", 240-plus pounds. And more times than not, he's guarded by undersized power forwards, you know, guys who are basically threes playing the four. And sometimes he's guarded by guys like Julius Randle and, you know, Anthony Davis and so forth around the league. But more times than not, he has a big size advantage, and they have not seen him take advantage of it enough. Joe, this season, I think we're seeing it. That Knicks game, you saw him get to the basket, and especially in the fourth quarter there, he went right at some guys into the chest and finished right through them. We saw his very first game, right? When he returned, I believe it was against the Pelicans when he came back in that game and shot 0-7 from three-point range, but still had a solid game because he had, you know, he was throwing down dunks. His first home game against the Grizzlies, he threw down the two-handed dunks, you know, in traffic. In traffic, I'm buying the improvement here because of the fact that his two-point percentage right now is, I believe, at 56% from the field from two-pointers. Last season, Jaren Jackson Jr. was 47.6% on two-pointers. That is, I mean, it's still early, but there is reason to believe that this is sustainable. You go back, you know, to his last season where he played close to a full season when he was 20 years of age, 54% from two-point range in that year. So right now he's at a career high at this 56% from two-point range. And just watching him play, it looks like he's realizing it, Joe. He's saying, you know what, I'm bigger than these guys. And he's muscling up. He's using his strength. He's using his power. And that makes him more effective because on nights where he shoots 0-7 from three-pointer or 2-7, last season, a lot of those games, it felt like if he wasn't making three-pointers, it was a tough night offensively. You know, you're just depending on his defense. But, Joe, I tell you what, we're starting to see the evolution of this guy, kind of how we've seen with Desmond Bane, right? Desmond Bane this season, what we've seen is in games where he doesn't shoot the three ball well, he still can turn off 25 points and 5 assists because of his overall effectiveness around the floor. That's what we're seeing from Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm buying it, Joe.
I'm buying it too. You stole my thunder, but that's totally okay. This first segment can completely and totally be dedicated to Jaren Jackson Jr. because he's terrifying right now in the absolute best way. He's unguardable. You know, and you've heard Draymond Green say that about Jaren in the past, going back to the playoff series against Golden State last spring. He said, we couldn't defend Jaren Jackson Jr. I would say of the five games they've played, four of the five, that was true. There's no one that can defend Jaren Jackson Jr. The Knicks certainly couldn't. And I think that that is a wonderful development to see because his defense is still phenomenal. I know you mentioned that it's the offensive stuff that you're most excited about, and I support that take. But his block percentage, again, five games in, extremely small sample size, call me at Christmas, all those things are still true. He is at 5.7% block percentage, according to Cleaning the Glass. What does that mean? That means that when an opposing shot attempt happens, he blocks it almost 6% of the time. That's ridiculous, DeMichael. That is an insanely high rate. And not only is he impressive there, he is currently stealing the basketball at an elite level, better than he ever has before. So he's doing these offensive things, showing the ability to create off the dribble, get to the basket, all while still being an impactful defensive player. And in my opinion, that's not going to change because once Desmond Bane comes back, any offensive concerns will be alleviated a little bit. He won't have to be that second option night in and night out. Bane can take some of that load. Jaren will need to be that defensive force each and every night for this team in order for them to have the success that they hope to have. So I am encouraged by his offense. I am really excited about how his offensive usage has gone up in this opportunity for him that they need him to be that guy. He's not going to have to always do that. And his energy can continue to be on just creating awful, awful shot attempts for his opponents in the best way possible. So Jaren Jackson Jr., we're buying you, sir. We buy you as another potential all-star fringe guy. Obviously, injury will probably keep Jaren out of that mix. But he looks phenomenal to start the season. More of that, please. Pretty please at the top of Locked On Grizzlies holiday wish list. We'll talk about some things that maybe we want to push to the side. You know, maybe give those back. The fruitcake kind of thing that we're not exactly sure that's going to stick around in our next segment. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. You can browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget. You can book an SUV, minivan for a family road trip, a pickup truck for some errands, or even test drive an electronic vehicle. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget about boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. DeMichael, in the first segment, we bought into Jaren Jackson Jr. I have been buying his stock for a long time. I know you have as well. We're in on Jaren. Now let's talk about something that, you know, when you were a kid, you got it and you looked at it and it was like an itchy sweater from your grandma. And you just want to just pass that on right here. We're going to re-gift this. Here's that bread maker that you always wanted, my dear friend, right? That sort of stuff. Things that we currently see with this Grizzlies team about a quarter of the way through a season that we don't want to continue to see, or that we think we won't continue to see. I'm curious as to your takeaway on that, DeMichael, because for me, it is an area for this team that has traditionally been a strength. And it kind of coincides with our first segment, because now that Jaren Jackson Jr. has returned, I see this getting better as time goes on.
You teed it up for me. You mind if I go ahead and, I mean, you threw the alley-oop. Can I go ahead and dunk this down real quick?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're a basketball podcast. What am I thinking? Go ahead and slam it down. Well, I'm Dwayne Wade. You're LeBron James.
Let's do it. So, or better yet, you're Ja. I'm Brandon Clark right here. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, Joe.
You make a fair point. Dang it.
But I'm selling this slow defensive start as well. There's a turnaround coming, and it's mostly going to be a personnel turnaround. I don't think, it's a lot of systematic things that'll change. It's going to be more of a personnel turnaround. The Grizzlies will eventually have different types of defenders to guard different types of players. So let me explain here. Zaire Williams, for example. Zaire Williams isn't a great NBA defender yet. Zaire Williams has the potential to be a great NBA defender. What Zaire Williams is great at this point of his career defensively is chasing shooters around, staying attached to shooters, and just disrupting shots with his length. Joe, how many times have we said on this podcast after a road game, this team, whether it was the Wizards, the Pelicans, and, other teams just having the best shooting nights of their lives against this Grizzlies defense.
And seemed unsustainable.
Yeah, it is not sustainable. And if you have a guy like, that and Zaire Williams who can chase around, the Steph Currys of the world, the Duncan Robinsons, all these great elite shooters where it's like if you give them an inch of space, they're going to make those shots fall. They're great shooters. They're going to make some anyway. But you get Zaire Williams back for that. Then that allows you to leave, Dylan Brooks to guard the more physical guys. We saw how terrific of a job he did against Zion Williamson. Who saw that coming, right? But again, physicality plays into his game. So let's say you're playing the Clippers, for example. The Clippers, you got to guard Paul George. You got to guard Kawhi Leonard. Paul George is the guy who commonly runs off the pin downs. He's coming off screens more and things like that. That's the matchup you want to kind of shade Zaire Williams toward. Whereas with Dylan Brooks, that's more of Kawhi Leonard is bigger. He's stronger. He's going to post you up. He's going to try to shoot over you. That's the matchup you want Dylan Brooks to play a bigger role in. Same thing, I'm just thinking of the top teams right now in the West. Phoenix Suns, for example. You're playing the Suns, you're guarding, guys like Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, these guys that are going to come off all these screens and make these three-pointers. There's your Zaire Williams matchup. Whereas Devin Booker, he's going to be physical. You want to match physicality with physicality. Dylan Brooks, we know the history those two have. But overall, Joe, I think it's going to be a personnel thing. It's when you get Zaire Williams back to kind of help, you know, offset some of those things. We've mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. He's the total difference maker here at the end of the day. He is the one guy who can – and he's already shifting. I've been looking at the Grizzlies' block totals. They're up to, I think, 13th in the NBA already. You know, this was a team – I think they were sub-20 before Jaren Jackson Jr. came back. Already up to 13th in the NBA. You mentioned the steals. The deflections have been there too. I mean, he's getting his hands on a lot of stuff. So, overall – the defense is going to have a turnaround. To what level remains to be seen, but it's going to be better than what we've seen so far.
And it also is important to understand that, you know, you mentioned Zaire, you mentioned Dylan, to have Jaren in a position where he can be that secondary help defender at the rim. That's the priority. Like, could Jaren, in theory, defend Kawhi Leonard at this stage of his career? Yeah, I think Jaren could. You know, he's strong enough as an on-ball defender, especially against an older wing who maybe isn't as able-bodied as he used to be. I think Jaren is capable of doing those things, but he is so good at being that help side defender, that blocker, that guy that cleans up the mess in the paint and around the rim. I like Jaren in that role. We're agreeing today, DeMichael. I agree on the defensive concerns, and I do think that it's important to point out, and I know I might start a flame war in the comments of the YouTube page, and I'm sorry for this. I'm going to say they that shall not be named. The Grizzlies, in terms of their defense, when I looked at the numbers, I was surprised that they're actually not performing that poorly compared to where they've been in the past, right? They're still playing the worst defense of the Taylor Jenkins and John Morant era so far. But where they're really struggling in terms of a noticeable difference between the last couple of seasons and this one, DeMichael, is in creating turnovers. And I wonder who was important for that.
You better watch it, Joe. He's coming Friday.
It rhymes with Shmi Anthony Schmelton and Shmile Schmanderson. Okay, I won't say their names specifically, but those two guys were really strong in those areas, and the Grizzlies continue to not have those guys on the roster. Now, you make a fair point, and I know we'll talk more about this in the final segment. They're not at full strength yet, right? Desmond Bane's not there. Zaire Williams, who is an important piece of this defensive puzzle, also not there. So there's still a lot to be decided. The jury's still out based on where this defense is going to go. But DeMichael, for me, my biggest takeaway of something that hopefully doesn't stick around, we always knew they were going to have to change the way they scored, change the way they played to an extent. I want to see this team improve and change their ability to take away possessions from the other team, because that is going to be something that, again, defense can travel. You're not always going to have your shot. You're not always going to be able to make an impact scoring the basketball unless your name's Steph Curry, right? But defense can always be present, and I would like to see that turnover percentage go up a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, that would be great. That's something that I'm not too – I don't know if those numbers will get – to where they were. Well, I mean, we're talking about a team that was number one in steals and blocks.
Right. They're probably not getting to that point.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's more of me when you talk about that. Even if you go back to last season's defense, this was always, you know, they were top five defensive rating, right? But I think they finished, I don't remember the exact number right now off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure they were in that 8-12 range in terms of defensive field goal percentage. I'm pretty sure it was 10-12 because I wrote about it last season too.
Per cleaning the glass, they were 11th. Right in that 8-12 range.
Boom. So last season, they were 11th in defensive field goal percentage. But what made them a top five defensive rated team was the fact that they turned guys over, like you're alluding to. So it just leads me to believe that if they're not creating those same type of turnovers, an area like defensive field goal percentage is something that they'll have to tick up it a bit in this season, maybe get closer to 8-7. And with that being said, that leads me to believe that the defense may not be as elite as it was last season overall, and it'll just look a little bit different. You know, one thing that I think that's really stood out to me since Jaren Jackson Jr. has been back is his role is much bigger, I think, in terms of what they're doing right now. You look at how the Bucks use Giannis Antetokounmpo. Everyone complains about, and guess what? Eventually, as Jaren Jackson Jr. becomes a household name, this problem is going to come up on the national level too. You heard it here first. But everyone complains about Giannis Antetokounmpo not guarding Kevin Durant. not guarding, you know, all these top scorers in the East. You remember that in the playoffs? They were saying, oh, tell Giannis to guard him. But what Mike Budenholzer, by the way, Taylor Jenkins was an assistant on his staff.
Spoiler alert, this is the exact thing that's going to happen here.
Exactly. It's going to happen in Memphis because you're not going to see Jaren Jackson Jr. too often picking up those matchups because the Grizzlies like for him to be that back line of defense. Because what they're doing a lot of times, and some of the players talk about this, is they're funneling players. They want players to drive the basketball towards Jaren Jackson Jr. because they feel like if they drive at Jaren Jackson Jr., they're not going to score. That's the toughest shot for them. And you're running them off of the three-point line. At the end of the day, the Bucks defense is synonymous for protecting the paint and protecting the three-point line. They're giving you all that stuff in the middle, and that's what makes them so tough. The Grizzlies have those same capabilities, and they're funneling things. I mean, the Pelicans game was the perfect example. Jaren Jackson Jr., of all the players on the Pelicans, he guarded arguably the worst offensive player in the starting lineup in Herbert Jones. And he basically just freestyled around the paint and made it tough on them around the rim.
That's exactly right. And I talked about that on yesterday's episode of Locked On Grizzlies, making Herb Jones beat you. A little bit of Tony Allen to that, for those that have been around the Grizzlies for a while. Memphis Grizzlies fans are familiar with that defense philosophy. In our last segment here, we are going to be talking about exchanges. You know, maybe you want to make a move, maybe move something along for another piece. Do the Grizzlies need one more piece to truly ascend to contender status? We'll talk about that on our final segment. But first, I want to shout out Locked On Sports Today. Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. But for your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager. Am I right? It can feel very uptight for a small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs help find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's extremely easy to use. All you have to do is make a job post, add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to the LinkedIn profile, and spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. We're entering the home stretch of 2022. Everybody wants to finish this year strong. The right team member can help you do just that. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. DeMichael, I know you've gotten some gifts in the past that you're not a huge fan of, right? We don't have to put anybody on blast. You know, I would never dream of doing such a thing, talking about jackets and sweaters that I would never wear. I wouldn't do that, okay? But we all have been in that gift-giving experience, right? You try to make an exchange. Quarter of the way through the season, entering this holiday time of the year, do you think that the Memphis Grizzlies need to make a move? Do you watch this team play and think, gosh, if they had another shooter, if they had another big, if they had another perimeter defender, this would take the team to a championship contender status? You're starting to see teams like the Chicago Bulls, kind of surprisingly, the Charlotte Hornets. Obviously, the Houston Rockets are going to be in this mix. Teams that are going to be in the interest of selling, the San Antonio Spurs, as the race to tank for the upcoming 2023 NBA draft continues. Do you think that Memphis needs another guy in order for them to truly become a contender, not just in the Western Conference, but in the entire NBA? Because the Boston Celtics, as of this recording, loom large. They appear to be the best team in the NBA. Do the Grizzlies have what it takes to be a contender in a world where Boston is playing the way that they are?
Joe, it's my time. It's my turn to get bold like you, you know? I got a couple things I want to say on this.
Okay.
And one, I want to say, I think this year's team has the potential to be better. than last season's 56-win squad.
I thought you were about to say they're going to be better than Celtics. I was like, that is spicy. I like that.
Oh, Joe. Let me. I don't want to go that far yet. I don't want to go that far yet. They could be.
Sure.
I want to say that this starting lineup, I mean, could you imagine what it's going to look like when you have Ja, Dez, Dylan Brooks? I mean, people haven't been giving him his flowers like that outside of you, Joe. You're telling them to do it. Maybe they'll start listening to you, Joe. But
maybe Dylan, I need to start calling people cowards. That usually works with
Yeah. Call them all cowards. Call them all out on Twitter. Dylan Brooks' improvement, plus the defense. I mean, he's leading the team in the box plus minus, right? And then Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, we just talked about it, but 4-plus games of 20 or more points for the first time in his career. Steven Adams right now, offensive rebounding at a historic level, even better than last season, offensive rebounding percentage-wise. The starting lineup is better than last season. At the end of the day, we talked about it before the season, the individual growth of all these players was going to make this team better. We're seeing John Morant be a better player. We're seeing Desmond Bane be a better player. We're seeing Jaren Jackson Jr. being a better player. And all in all, that makes the Grizzlies a better team. But you realize I'm just talking about the starters. So that goes to your thing about this exchange here. And it's they need like a bona fide, I can get you 15 points off the bench guy. In the playoffs, we know the starters are going to play. You got Ja Morant and Desmond Bane in your backcourt. Those guys are going to probably both toe around 40 minutes in the postseason because you just don't want either one of them off the floor very much. Dylan Brooks, his great defensive ability, you don't want him off the floor that much. Zaire Williams, I think, you know, will be a good sub for those guys. And Tyus Jones, again, another. So you're like, where do you put this automatic scorer? But I don't know the answer to that. I just know the answer to they need a guy who can create his own shot. The bench, we've talked about it a lot. That's probably the biggest weakness right now overall on this team in terms of what they need to improve. Free throw shooting is definitely up there. But that's what I think it comes down to. You need that Jordan Clarkson, that Lou Will, who is a free agent. And he's from Memphis, born here, by the way. Fun fact. Lou Williams out there, and all these other guys, you mentioned these other teams, San Antonio Spurs, guy like Josh Richardson, not, you know, the greatest shot creator, but someone who I think can go and give you 12 points off the bench on a night where the starters may be struggling. I think that's what you need, Joe. If they have that, I can't spot a weakness. Tyus Jones is one of the better backup point guards in the game. Santi Aldama, you know, there's some inconsistencies there, but I really like, you know, what he's showing. He's 21 years old. I mean, he's looking good. Brandon Clark, he is really good for his role. You need that guy who can come in with the bench, and instead of just relying on passing the ball like a hot potato, which works a lot of times, when you play those teams who are going to switch everything, you need that guy to say, everybody move. I'm going to take care of this. They don't have that guy right now. That's what they need.
Eric Gordon, you know, somebody like that. Mm. Salary-wise, that wouldn't work as well. I think he makes $19 million. You would have to include Danny Green and then – other stuff that Memphis doesn't really want to either give up at all or have in the first place. So that feels like another episode. You know, there's other times coming up where the Grizzlies don't have games. Maybe we can dive into a wish list of players, you know, that could maybe fill those voids. For me, it would be Harrison Barnes, right? And obviously the Kings are not going to trade that guy because he is doing very well for them.
A couple of times before.
Right. And he, you know, sixth man, Harrison Barnes, you kidding me? Playing 26 minutes off the bench on this Grizzlies team? That'd be a perfect fit. But that's not going to happen. And I think that my biggest takeaway to Michael, and again, you cover the team. You're there almost every day when they're in town. You're there, obviously, for the commercial appeal. My biggest thing is until this front office shows that they're willing to do that kind of a trade, I'm cool with no exchanges. I'm going to hold on to the itchy sweater. I'm going to hold on to John Conchar as that scoring guard or making a leap of faith when it comes to Zaire Williams, because they just haven't shown a willingness to be in that kind of market to bring in somebody that isn't really a part of their culture. Again, we've mentioned before on this show, the one free agent signing during this entire era is Tyus Jones.
Yep.
Outside of him, it's been trades and the draft. So maybe the Grizzlies trade up and use a lot of their chips in the 2023 draft to get, you know, maybe to the eighth or ninth pick, somebody they really like. I could see them doing something like that. But until I'm proven different, I just don't see this front office doing those things. So I'm going to choose to try to be positive, because usually I'm not this way, DeMichael. I'm going against the grain a little bit for me here. I'm going to hope that Tyus Jones and Brandon Clark, when they get into their more traditional roles, have improvement. I'm going to hope that Zaire Williams is the guy that so many believe he can be and be that 12-point or so guy. Yeah, I mean, you're a big supporter of his. So I think that there's a lot of room. And again, you mentioned Santi Aldama. Aldama should be able to score 8 to 10 points a night coming off of the bench, given what we've seen from him. Again, as the 10th man in the rotation, that's what Santi would be. I think that that's really possible for him. So I am going to hold off on exchanges until I see the full grouping of talent that this front office has amassed. Because that's essentially what Zach Kleiman and company have done. They have built from within. This is who we are. And I don't know that anybody outside of what they've currently done is going to make the impact to get them to that Celtics-esque level of contention. To me, Boston's a tier above everybody right now. And then you've got everyone else. And the Grizzlies are a part of that everyone else second tier. I think that they could move closer to Boston, even just with Desmond Bane and Zaire Williams healthy. So I reserve the right to change my mind. Everybody knows how much I love the trade machine. If you follow my work at Grizzly Bear Blues, and if you follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, we're going to have an episode or two where I come up with some deals. Don't you worry. But for now, we got a few weeks here as the holiday season starts. I want to see Bane healthy, hopefully Zaire. I know you might have an update on that in the next couple of episodes here. Hopefully those two guys are back on the floor soon, and we can finally see what this team's supposed to be. And that's my holiday hope as the holiday season gets underway. Thanks for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. DeMichael, this was so fun. I think we should do it again soon. You know, maybe tomorrow would be a good time for us to talk some Grizzlies basketball. Obviously, the Grizzlies will be back in action on Wednesday, so we'll have that to discuss. The Grizzlies will have had a practice, right, between now and then that I'm sure you'll be in the mix for. Maybe a little bit of attendance, maybe a little bit of an injury report. Injury report update? Maybe you can do that for us, DeMichael.
Sounds like something we should, you know, be able to do real soon. A lot of moving pieces are starting to happen. Zaire Williams getting closer.
He's Desmond Bane warming up before the Knicks game.
Yeah, Desmond Bane's been warming up. He's completely out of that boot and everything now. So the pieces are starting to move. I think December is just going to be a big month, you know, for the Grizzlies.
It's going to be a big month for the Grizzlies, and it's going to be a big month for Locked On Grizzlies, this podcast, because of you. Thank you so much for listening, watching, however you're taking into the show. Rate, review, subscribe, comment, all those things make us a part of your daily basketball content, not just for the Grizzlies, but for all of the NBA, because obviously the Grizzlies, the way they're built, they're going to be pretty good for a pretty long time. So stick with DeMichael and I as we continue to take you through this Memphis Grizzlies season. For DeMichael Cole of The Commercial Appeal, I am Joe Mullinax. Until next time, stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.